Hello.
Mike, I can hear
Hello?
you.
No fucking way.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. And maybe it was my headphones. I'm not sure. So I hope that when he joins, we can collab. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, right. Christopher.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Shit. Hey, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. Let's just go right into it, though. So, guys, welcome to the podcast. Me and Mr. Jerry Schuber, the owner and operator of podcast, or of the Sheepdog Ops podcast. We're going to bring you guys this new episode today, Thursday, the 4th of April. And without further ado, Mr. Schuber.
Hey, guys. You know my voice. It's Jerry again, as usual. So I got the opportunity to sit down. I think last night we sat down for about 45 minutes and just were BSing quite a bit. And I am super excited about this. We are actually going to be talking to its owner, correct, Chris?
Yes.
The owner and operator and pretty much everything around this. Poor Man's Black Rifle, LLC. I see that's what you got there. I want to make sure I get that right. So I want to give you the opportunity to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your background, and that way we can get right into it.
Well, super. Thank you, Jerry and Michael. Well, my name is Christopher Smith. I'm the owner and basically the creator of a Poor Man's Black Rifle LLC. But prior to this becoming an LLC, we started on Facebook way back when. Spending many times on Facebook in all our favorite little gun groups, just didn't fit in the right molds on those pages. And I watched a lot of guys getting eaten for lunch, made fun of and mocked and trolled in the whole nine yards. I had had enough of it, and I decided to start up a page, and I actually called it the Poor Man's Black Rifle. The average Joe here in the United States can't afford a $5,000-$6,000 AR.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we kind of grew with sponsorship from various tactical companies, rifle armories, donating parts, and doing a lot of advertisement just on Poor Man's Black Rifle, to the point that, you know, we grew up to 15,000 within a few years. These are loyal people.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, thanks, Chris. Hey, just real quick, you're talking about 15,000 people just within the group, right? That are following you guys?
That is just in my, it is now called PMBR. It's more of a secret group. You really can't get in unless you know somebody.
Yeah.
We have kind of closed the pearly gate doors, you know, so the sinners didn't come in. So
yeah.
we got trolled very hard. People tried to destroy us and report us and shut us down because they didn't like what we were doing by helping others learn to build inexpensive rifles that were effective.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of my favorite things about this, because sitting down and talking to you yesterday, Chris, I love the idea that you have, your little mantra, which was that something about legally and mentally adept. What was it again?
My mission statement at Poor Man's Black Rifle is, we at Poor Man's Black Rifle believe that every U.S. citizen that is legally and mentally adept to own a firearm should be able to protect themselves, family, and country, regardless of their income.
That's a pretty...
And because of...
I was going to...
Yeah?
Yeah, that kind of hit a good tone with me. I was just going to say that... Well, just repeat that one more time, the mission statement. Regardless of your... Say that again.
Well, it's regardless... If you're legally and mentally able to here in the United States to own a rifle, you should be able to protect yourself, your family, and your country, not depending upon an income. And that's that's the gist of the Second Amendment community we should all have, is helping one another. You know, the best thing in the world is neighbor being able to defend themselves. I feel more comfortable at night sleeping in my bed knowing that my guy next door has an AR laying in his bed, or even a pistol for that matter. It's just, we should be able, it's funny that we sit back as citizens and we can recite our Second Amendment over and over and hear the word exercise. Well, there's a lot more to that word exercise. That means use it. And this isn't something that's kept always alongside your bed. Get up on a Saturday, take your family out, show them the rifle. Teach your children. Your children more than likely will be the ones sitting at home if something was victimized. Let your child know how to use the rifle and defend themselves. And your daughters, look at our current situation in the United States. Look at the crime rates of rape. I mean, there is nothing better in the world than I want to give my daughter, when she turns 18 years old and able to, and give her her own pistol and to take her to a CCW class and teach her to defend herself.
Right. Yeah. Hey, I got a question. You know what I'm thinking right now as you're talking is, man, how are you guys dealing with this backlash of people with, you know, I couldn't disagree. What if somebody came and said, Christopher, I couldn't disagree with you more because look at all these shootings, or look at this guy who went into the mosque, or why do you want everybody to have a rifle if this is the current societal situation? You know, like, how do you guys deal with that right now?
Well, I don't deal with it at all, sir. That's a shortcut to thinking. That's like somebody looking at my fat belly and telling me, you know, the spoon's the problem. Everything here in the United States right now is we are not looking at what the cause of what everything is. There is no accountability to that.
Yeah.
We are, as a society, have totally negated any responsibility to anybody anymore. And that's what, yeah, can we sit here and have an argument all day about this and pull up stats, pull up articles and the whole nine yards? But let's be realistic here. It is not a gun issue. It is a heart issue. This is.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday. We had a I'm telling you, like, most of the talks that I have with our guests beforehand, the 15 minutes, and then they're off the phone, but me and Chris were talking, and we got into some deep stuff about that. I think that's the biggest problem that people aren't understanding, is that there is a huge heart issue. I also think that one of the parts of your statement is huge, too. I think there's a big mental stability problem that we have going on. And I know this may not be something that you touch on normally, Chris, but is that something that concerns you, being someone who is, you know, in a community like this where it's about being pro 2A?
Well, in the same token, with a mental issue, I mean, who and what can we do to, are we going to have to have everybody scream, own a gun? Everybody somewhere, somehow, has a mental issue, I think, is a blanket statement that people like to use for saying that someone had lack of self-control or no discipline in their life. That is what I see in my, I am just speaking on my own terms. I am not using this for every situation. But what I see is a lack of discipline and self-control. Everybody has, if it feels good, do it. And most of these people who go out and do shootings, you find out some of the stories. Oh, they were bullied. However, let's go back to the parenting. Let's go back to the parents' parents. Let's look at the root of the problem. The root of the problem is the heart problem. And when you become mentally unable to go out and want to cause a mass shooting, well, we just say he's mental. I don't always find it just being mentally wrong. Were they off kilt? Were they a French fry short of a Happy Meal? Probably. But I would have to say that if we would find there's lack of a father in their life. There's something along the lines where there's something that someone lost their way. Their compass no longer points north. And that's how I come at things. I don't spend time with the he said, she said stats. Let's see what the CDC's, you know, with the killings here. And I'm, what, 4 hours away from Chicago. And they're killing each other in droves over there. But nobody cares because it's Democratic ruled, and no one ever covers it because the Democrats rule the media. So I guess, you know, I don't want to get all in the conspiracy type of things, but nobody's speaking truth here.
Yeah.
You know, and the sad thing about it is the people who think they're hearing the truth, all they're doing is hearing propaganda for an agenda that they have no idea, because everybody's running everything on. I mean, look back at the election, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, look at these snowflakes. Everybody wants to say these what we call snowflakes. They're not snowflakes, man. They rule. Their lives are no discipline and no self-control, and they rule their lives through emotion, no logic. When you remove everything with logic and intelligence, you're left with emotion. And emotions are never right, and they're never wrong. They're not to be controlled.
You got to have some kind of control over your emotion and make decisions. There's no leadership skill. I could go on and on and on. It's just we have to get back to the family. That's where we failed.
Is the root is the family.
I agree with you. I couldn't agree with you more on that concept. I think that's the biggest failure point in the United States, and is getting rid of that central family dynamic, especially when it comes to things like you're saying, these bullying issues and things like that. And I think a lot of it has to do with, in my personal opinion, is that there's not fathers in the homes. You don't have that yin and yang of parenting there. It's a lot of them fathers are leaving, and that can be an issue at times. And I think that's developing even the bigger issues now.
I completely 100% agree. I mean, I don't like messing around with just, back, you know, playing the feel good, touch me, feel good feeling stuff. I am, you know, don't get me wrong. I mean, I can sit there and cry over the best Budweiser commercial if it's possible. But what about it is, but there's things in life, even for my own wife, is why a husband and a wife, we balance. I am not an emotionally ruled person whatsoever. You know, my wife sometimes has to teach me to be tender and gentle and to see things with some compassion sometimes, because that is the balance between us. And then there's times you got to tell your wife, hey, we are getting emotional here about this. We have to back it up a step and see it logical. And that's kind of where I know we kind of jump off of a little bit of a tangent there, but in the world of mentality, of mental depth, and I just think we have totally lost our way in this society.
Yeah.
Because of family unit. I think we really have. And because I can tell you one thing, when I was growing up, when you messed up and you were at your best friend's house, my buddy's dad would come and whoop our butt.
Yeah.
And then you were in tears all the way home. When the phone call got to your dad, you got whooped again.
Yeah.
You know, it's just different. I mean, people can talk all they want about it, but I truly believe this is a discipline problem. It's no different than when you're training with an AR or a pistol.
Yeah, I could definitely relate to what you're saying. I mean, we're out here and we're California boys, and I definitely had a little bit of that growing up, but not to the extent that you're saying. But I think it would definitely help. But just for our listeners out there, just a recap, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong when I say this, Chris, but so basically Chris is very pro 2A and Second Amendment. Everybody should hold their have a weapon, and he owns Poor Man's Black Rifle. And what we just got done talking about was people who rule or make their decisions based on unlogical things or emotional things or things that make them divisive, like politics. Those are the people who we have that we see problems with, and what you see in the news media with people who are just not fit mentally anything to handle and be responsible for a gun or to be pro 2A. But Chris also said, if you rule with discipline, I heard this the other day, it said, if you are fully disciplined and you know how to discipline yourself, whether I can calories, knowing how to handle a weapon, being responsible, discipline in a way almost equals freedom. So that's what Chris had just said. He said, be a person of discipline, be a person of family, be a person of root. And then that's going to lead to this, ultimately, this 2A, this mindset, this responsibility, this protection, kind of the core of who we are as society and as human beings. And so that's very valuable of what he's saying for our listeners out there. And that's probably the driving force behind his Poor Man's Black Rifle. But we're going to transition this, and maybe, Chris, you could tell us. First of all, tell me if I was completely off on that statement, because I need to go jump off a bridge or some shit. But we're gonna transition into how you if that's correct, you know, how are you gonna drive this Poor Man's Black Rifle, and then let's go into how you built the expertise of building a very inexpensive weapon for people.
Well, the greatest teacher of everything is a mistake. I did a lot of
foolishly and thinking, oh, look at the price on this. And then you'd have someone else say, oh, you really don't want to buy that. Well, I have learned the old saying of buy once, cry once, but I'm still not in the area where I would consider, with being Poor Man's Black Rifle, I must be an ambassador for what I actually stand for. I have a lot of people that come over to my house and want to see my guns, thinking I have this large collection. No, I have four rifles in my safe that are black and not even fancy. You know, they're just rifles. And I feel very comfortable with them. And why? Because I have learned where and what to do to build an AR. If you're going to build your very own, there's a few misconceptions and myths out there. You know, is it legal to build an AR-15? Yes. Please check. You know, I mean, I'm sorry.
Oh. Did we lose him? Are you guys there?
Yeah, I think his audio.
I know what he's about. He's about to drop about this. He's going to talk about. I don't know if you can hear us, Christopher, but we can't hear you right now. About checking in with your own regulations and rules for the area that you live in, because I think that's where a lot of people have their issues, is they don't actually check their own laws, because from state to state it's different, you know, on what you can and can't build and what you are allowed to and not allowed to do. I know here in the state of California, it's extremely difficult, and you have to be extremely careful.
Right.
Chris, you're back with us? I don't hear him. I would assume that's a no. But I know that, you know, there's certain parts and that you have to be careful of, because you have to have a certain license, or you have to have a certain certificate or verification with the state and things like that in the DOJ that make it difficult. And that's why so many people are having a hard time with California laws and things like that, because of how hard it is and how difficult it is to keep up with the laws when they're implementing something new every, you know, it feels like 6 months on us.
Yeah, it seems like the regulation that they're really putting on, especially California, it's not only impeding the sales, but it's just very difficult to, like, I'm friends with the, you know, we have our apparel in some of the gun stores around here, and even they're trying to interpret some of the laws and regulations.
Christopher, are you back with us?
Yeah, I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
So,
well, fantastic.
Yeah, we'll jump back into that. But all this is important. What I was gonna say was, I deal with a couple gun stores over here, and they're in California, and they're dealing right now with some of these laws and regulations that they don't even know how to. They're not even like they post this law and regulation. Wish I could find the post and read it to you. And literally the gun store, you know, the issue is with high capacity magazines. So we've lived out the last, I don't know how many decades where high capacity magazines were not illegal. Now all of a sudden you can't do it. So imagine that you own this gun store for years and years and years, and now you can't even sell a 30 clip AR-15 magazine. And then they release a blanket statement on a new law that this Gavin Newsom just released, that he's just trying to, you know, I don't want to get political, but so you got all these gun store owners that are literally not eating because nobody's going to come in there and buy a 3-round, a 5-round magazine because they'll just make the shit themselves, to be honest, on the side. But it's like you're trying to deal with mad customers. You're trying to interpret the laws and regulations, and it's just kind of a shit show right now, you know, as far as these.
Yeah, it is.
Well, and Chris, I think that's something you can attest to with everything that you're trying to do. Is, you know, dealing with customers from all over the place. How do you deal with that as far as laws go and things like that, making sure that those people aren't trying to get anything in trouble?
Well, Jerry, the best way I handle it is to have a complete update from the ATF constantly and talk with them. The ATF, a lot of guys kind of move away from or do not want to deal with, but if you call and talk with them, they're there for you. They actually want everybody to call them. And, you know, it's better to be safe than sorry. I mean, it's better safe than being in jail at any time. You know, it's very easy to put together an AR-15, you know, once you get past your first build. But for the folks in California, even out to the East Coast, even coming away from the laws of what you're saying, Jerry and Michael, let's look at what I have a friend in Jersey. To get a lower to start an AR build, you're pushing $250 just in transfer fees and applications. That's not even the cost of the lower.
Wow.
So, yeah. And I mean, I'm paying $20 here in Michigan. So for these folks to exercise their right and their Second Amendment right, because it is a right. This is a right. And that's what I want everybody to understand. The time for us to sit down. I am not asking people to rise up and let's march to Washington. But the point is everybody's sitting back here and talking about it on Facebook. It is Facebook does not care about your rights, guys. They don't. Actually, nobody in the United States, other than the silent majority of us Second Amendment followers and lovers of our guns. I mean, we got people who love to just shoot guns for plinking. We have people who are tactical. We have people who make money, professional shooters. We have very many aspects of the firearm industry here, but to sit back for all of us to be quiet is a travesty in itself. I don't know who used to say that, but the greatest travesty to give it to mankind, I believe someone once said, was for a good man to sit and do nothing. Right. And
I've heard that before.
That's where I'm at is everybody's wants to say, oh man, the bump stocks, well, that was stupid anyway. Well, did you know that the bump stock at one time was originally made to lessen the blow on people who were had shoulder injuries? It wasn't made to be a – I mean, there's many things out there that we – yeah, was – are we really going to miss it? No, but it's still you know.
It's a little bit of both, I agree. You know, that's one of those things that, you know, as a 2A lover, it's ridiculous that they'd sit here and ban something that its original use isn't what it's being used for currently. But at the same time, you're supposed to have access to something, because the whole reason for having this Second Amendment isn't for anything other than if the government decides it wants to get out of hand. You know, and I think that's a missed communication point that people forget about. It's to protect yourself and to protect, you know, yourself from tyranny.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
but,
go ahead.
Oh, no, you're fine. You guys go right ahead. I was just going to implement a little bit about on the Second Amendment. You know, it's, We only kind of quote like part of it all the time. You know, we just use, you know, efficient and well-regulated militia. But if you really read the whole Second Amendment, I mean, we as a nation at that time are exactly where we are now. If you really study civilization, we're looking at a 200-year reign on most all empires, Rome. We are calling good bad and bad good. Where in the world did you ever think in a million years on our Second Amendment, if someone came into your house, that the gentleman that you happened to donate your lead to can seize your house and take you to court? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm just thinking 50, 100 years ago, that would never happen. And like in the wild, wild west days, if somebody broke into your shit and even like looked at your kids wrong, man, everybody would be on your side to just take that person down. I just think, I think overall, like one of the main problems is nobody knows how, you know, you quoted something that was real interesting to me. It's like the root of all evil is to just sit back and do nothing. Because if you're important, you're going to fight for something, right? Like, and that's the God honest truth. But I think we're dealing with so many issues right now as far as society, because back, if you compared the wild, wild west going into somebody's home, you'd get killed. But if you do it nowadays, you're under, like you were saying, you never would have thought that it could be taken to court and you could be in the wrong when somebody broke into your house. But,
exactly.
You know, but okay, so that's crazy. Yeah, we all agree that that's crazy. But how do you deal? And I think this is the unspoken thing nobody's really talking about. This is the real problem. Here's the real problem. You're dealing with these tech industries, these tech titans like Facebook and Twitter and all of these industry who can bypass laws and live stream things and have instant access to data. And back in the day, 100 years ago, you didn't have an instantaneous, a million people couldn't see that person just walked in and robbed or something like that. But now you have a situation where everybody has a voice, everybody can see what's happening, and everybody has their own opinion, and it's like it's bombarding the system. So, and these companies are never going to really tell you that or admit to that, and just like they don't admit to their privacy violations, right? Like we're screaming to these companies, and I'm not going off topic here. I swear to God, I'm gonna bring this back.
Your show.
Yeah, they are violating our privacy rights. We know it. We keep giving them data. And with that, we're saying, yeah, it's okay, just don't screw me over. But you know, at the end of the day, if they're live streaming this, they're putting it everywhere. Everybody has a voice. Everybody has access to the same information with their own opinions. Like, you're going to have a bunch of chaos, and that's what it's going to lead to. It's anybody can do anything, broadcast it, and there's really no limitation and nobody to stop them. So, you know.
Well, what you're saying in the terms of getting down to the brass tacks of what you're saying there, Michael, is there is no freedom. When you go in your fine print and nobody reads the fine print, they just go to their AUP and the agreement and they just, oh, yes, I agree. Well, it's no different in my Facebook groups that I've been, you know, I run Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, MeWe, which is has a lot more freedom. But in Facebook itself, you know, I have two other open forums closed called 1791 and Poor Man's Black Rifle. Now my PMBR one, it's closed. At one time when it was open, I had so many people complain about Facebook. And I says, look, guys, we are a group of guys who love the Second Amendment and sharing our knowledge with each other on a liberal, biased social platform that's free. Quit your bitching. Keep it low key. We don't have to bring attention to ourselves, but let's just enjoy this place where we all can come together and meet with one mind in one accord. And let's not stir and rock the boat too much, you know. That's the part that I've been trying to get across to people. But in that same aspect of what you're saying is, where else can you go? Because what you said, Michael, is the truth. If Facebook totally shuts down communication for all conservatives, there's nothing for anybody to communicate with other than gathering someone's email, and that's then monitored, or your phone that's monitored. They can totally shut us down of total. The only thing that's left is a CB.
Right.
And that's what you
said. I got one still.
Yeah.
I do too. But that but that is the truth. I mean, people want to sit back and not really see the big picture here. We, as a nation right now, are totally controlled. If I went out in my street right now and stood up and started screaming pro-Trump stuff, I could be arrested, and I could be detained under the Patriots Act with no explanation. None.
I think that's the big part that people forget about too, though, is that when you lose something like your Second Amendment right, your First Amendment right is protected by that, and vice versa. It's those two go hand in hand, and I think that's a huge part that people are missing out on far as understanding why they were written the way they were.
Well, yeah, you kind of find it odd that the first one was the most important one, and the second one defended the foundation of the first one. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they're almost interchangeable. If you were to ask my personal opinion, and I think it's been stated before, but they're pretty interchangeable as to which one was most important, because without one, you can't have the other.
That is very true.
And I think that's the biggest thing hindering people is that they're so willing to give away their rights without even knowing how they work, because they don't work real well if you don't have all of them.
Oh man, But it's worth it though, Jerry. Man, I get $1,400 a month, man, and I don't have to do nothing. I don't have to do nothing, man. I don't even have to own a pair of work boots. So
all you have to do is vote for that D. That's it.
Oh yeah, feel the burn, baby. Feel the burn.
Speaking of that, all this 2020 stuff is getting kind of interesting. You know, I don't know. I got pumped when 2016 came and I saw all this. I don't know why. It's just such a taboo subject, but it's so crazy fun, you know?
I really don't find it fun, man. I want to regurgitate every day, because if I see one more Democratic presidential person come out of the woodwork, I mean, I remember clear back.
Got them all.
We go back to 2008 when Obama, or was it 12 when he came in?
Yeah.
What? And that's the thing I said. I was working in Okeechobee, and I knew the election was. But when he started running that following year, I was down in Florida, and I just said, "Where'd this guy come from? Who is he?" And everybody said, "Oh man, he's from Illinois." And I'm like, "Well, I knew Kennedy. He was a." Everybody knew the Kennedy family, Eisenhower. Everybody knew the Bushes had history, but this guy came out of nowhere. Nowhere, and all of a sudden, he was snap, crackle, pop. He was the cornflakes. He was the cherry on the top, and I'm like, where did he? Where did he come from?
Anyway, before we get too far off on that tangent, because you're gonna get started going, and Chris, I'm gonna be right behind you, and. I think we'll get off base from where I actually wanted to hear a little bit more about your building a firearm, as far as some of the misconceptions of building an AR, and price wise. And I know you have a big thing about brand, because we were talking about this yesterday. But as far as brands go and things like that, and your opinion on those, I'd love to hear more about that, and I'd love to let the other listeners hear about it too.
Well. All right, I'll break it down. I will stay on topic. here's what I have found out. Through having many sponsors and meeting with a lot of people and becoming relationships and building bridges with a lot of different companies and people in, you know, high places in companies, I have learned that there's, you know, your BCGs, you basically have three major companies who make them. Your barrel, if, you know, I don't know if I'll plug them out there, but like Bear Creek Arsenal, if that's what you can afford, go for it, because they're excellent barrels. But you can put together a complete USA made. Now, I want to mind you, I am not going against a guy that can only afford the AR that came over on the bamboo boat. But if you want a USA made rifle, you could very easily make one for under $500. That is very, very well made and sub MOA. But the problem here with we have that I was speaking with you, Jerry, about last night is our problem isn't so much the rifle. What we do is we have a problem between the booger hook and the tennis shoes. See?
Absolutely.
I've watched people with $3,000 to $5,000 ARs and say, oh, there's something wrong with my that this must be off. And then you sit down, well, let me try it. Oh, shoot, man. What's that? Looks like it's in the middle, don't it? And, well, it just, you know, I must have not been doing it right.
Well, you know what, I that was my favorite thing that we talked about yesterday. It's not the gun, because you know what, other than the fact that you didn't want to be shot by a high point, you'd rather be, you know, multiple other things happen to you. I know that it's a lot of things, and this is every career field, especially the guys that we're talking to and people that we're connected with. It's training. It really comes down to the lack of training, the lack of ability, because they don't take the time to create. And I know I've done a couple videos on this, but on the OODA loop and having something to pull from and having something to actually use.
Yes, that's very true.
Did we lose Jerry?
I don't know. Jerry just disappeared on me.
You guys there?
Yeah, can you hear me? Oh, yeah, we got you now. We got you.
All right. My bad. Sorry, guys. My phone must have fallen asleep on me. No, I was saying that it's training is the biggest factor that's missing. I think that people aren't creating these OODA loops, because if you're in a situation and you need to be able to fire a weapon or to defend yourself or to protect yourself, it's that booger hook to tennis shoes issue is because you don't train for those situations. You don't put yourself in a position to have something to pull from when you have an adrenaline dump or you have issues like that pop up and arise.
Most certainly.
You there?
Oh yeah, I'm just saying that's most certain. You're 100% correct. I mean, just you can run through YouTube and just watch some of the malfunctions. Just people practicing pulling out their pistols. I mean, it's one thing to sit in front of a mirror and shadow pull and dry pull and go out in the range and jump around between some targets, but when lead's flying back at you, man, it's a little different. You know, big. I mean, it's not like it's not like we're Neo or something and we can just put our hand out and watch those bullets fall to the ground. It's real deal. And adrenaline is one of the biggest errors in a human when it comes to guns. But the fact is even when you've trained, you could dump thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to be trained by the best. But unless you react in a manner that you're trained in, you still can mess up. But the fact of the matter is people who are building ARs right now, there's lots of them. I mean, the whole saying behind every blade of grass, the AR-15 industry is saturated. I mean, I'm going to the NRA convention in Indianapolis at the end of this month. I mean, and you go in there and there's just, you know, booth after booth, like at SHOT Show, and it's so saturated and everybody says, mine's the best, this is the best. Yes. Are there some out there that are higher end? And yes, but if you are starting out as a beginner, dropping $1,500, $2,000 on an AR is kind of redundant. Number one is by the time you start, I always call the AR the man's Barbie doll, because you want the dream house, then you want the Corvette, and then you want the pool, and that's what you do. When I did my first AR way back when, it was an MFP sport. And this is how I started, basically, to revert back to where we were at the beginning of the show. That's how I started. I could go on Amazon. I could go on eBay. I could get anything I wanted at that time. Nobody did anything to stop you from buying stuff.
And the old days.
Yeah, the old days. And by the time I dolled up, you know, because it's funny, I laugh, because when they went from the drop in handguards that were plastic and you could get a drop-in quad rail, you thought you had died and gone to heaven. And then the free floats came out. And, oh, yeah. And that's the thing, what I'm getting at, is we have gone from a simple Armalite rifle into paint jobs that are better than most cars. I mean, and what I mean by is, be simple. Start it out simple. If you're building an AR, start simple.
Yeah.
But build it yourself. Really, truly, build it yourself. Put on what you want. Because let me tell you guys, when you're done with the way you want it, you've thrown away $600 of parts you just bought. You will want the shiny barrel. You will want the better handguard. You will want the nice light. You'll want the better trigger. I'm telling you, save your dollars. Get what you want. Make a plan. And if you want, you can contact me at poormansblackrifle.com. I can help you in any way. You don't even have to buy from me. I will help you get around to building that gun you want just because I want you to have it.
That's pretty cool. Let me just say something real quick, Jerry. I like what he's saying. Just for those the listeners out there, like, this podcast was a little bit all over the place, but this is why, yeah, just to say the least. And I really applaud anybody out there who stuck it through. But you know, we're working through this. It'll get better. But listen to this. The reason I like Chris, and the reason I decided to partner up with Chris online, I've never met Chris in face to face. Okay, we've talked on the phone, we interact through Facebook. I like what he was doing. I interact on his thread. But if you really take away and listen to what he said, and I can attest to this. Look, what you're doing here is you're getting with Chris, you're getting with Poor Man's Black Rifle, and you're learning in a very economical, least expensive way to build. Not only you're learning multiple things here. A, you're learning how to build the rifle step by step. B, you're learning how that rifle functions, everything about it, and then everything that could go wrong with it from a fundamental level of understanding. And you don't want something super shiny probably with that. In the Army and everything I've ever done in business, when I first started this t-shirt, I learned the most when I fucked up the most, and I made the most mistakes. And you know what? Those are the best products out there. It's not the fancy schmancy stuff that you pay a bunch of money for. I swear to God, the best things money could even buy is the most simplest stuff. It's your own building. Hold on, I'm almost done. And not only are you learning at an affordable rate, you're going to get all the mistakes out very cheaply. And then you're going to learn how to build it. So it hits three things. It's affordable, you're learning, and then you're getting the mistakes to learn even more. And that's the essence of the value that I think that Chris brings. And when he said that he didn't want you to buy from him, I want you to buy from him. I want you to buy all your parts from him. And then I want you to know, and then I want you to let him explain to you how to build it. Because he's an expert. He knows what he's doing. Don't go out there and, you know, buy from somebody else and then come to Chris and be like, well, I screwed up here. No, screw up with Chris. Screw up with Poor Man's Black Rifle. And then, you know, he's already done it. So just, I would argue that you want those people to come to you because you have a lot of value, Chris. You know what I'm saying?
Well, thank you, sir. No, I've had, and if you do screw up, I can fix it. I had, matter of fact, I've had a gentleman who, right out of the box, bought a Smith & Wesson Sport, and he read the directions. Number one, if you have to read the directions when you buy an AR-15, don't buy an AR-15. Okay? All right, but let's listen to this. Then he read on there, he saw the word 300 blackout. Guess what the first round that went down that 5.56 barrel was?
Oh, man.
And guess what? That projectile was 4 inches long. Yeah.
How did he even get
it? I still have it. I had it as a trophy.
Oh, goodness.
I don't even know how you'd fit it down the barrel. How the hell did it go down the – how did you even load it?
Your 300 blackout is basically a 223 round expanded and cut down, and
Oh, I think we lost his audio.
Oh yeah, it looks like it. Maybe his phone cut out. Man, that's crazy. I got buddies who do that kind of crap, and I can't imagine it. But the point that I was actually going to get on to piggyback what you were saying about this, what Chris knows and what he can do, is the concept of knowing your gun. I think that's more important than anything else, and that's why you need to build it with somebody who knows what they're doing and can, put out that concept or idea for you, because I have a guy that I go through for my exposed carry permits that I have to do training for. Mm-hmm. And I think the big important thing is that he tells me you need to know your gun intimately, because if you're in a firefight and you're in a situation where you have to use it, you really need to make sure that it's something that is you know how to use it backwards and forwards. Yeah. You know how to load it. You know how to do all those kind of things, because when you need it, you don't want to be fumbling to figure out how to fix it or how to do that stuff. You should be able to know what's wrong and where you're having an issue with.
Yeah.
Because it's your gun.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. And everything that he would do would teach you how to do that. Hey, so explain to us how the hell he even got that round down the chamber. I've heard of that, though. The AR will fire any different size round, but it will fuck it up, right?
I actually needed a 5-pound sledgehammer and a steel rod, and I beat it out just because I wanted to keep it. I still have the barrel, but yeah, it ended up exploding, and the mag shrapnelized and went into the side of his buddy's face. Jesus. But my point to what I'm trying to say with this, guys, is there's humor in this lesson, but there's also a lesson in there that if you're reading directions to fire a firearm, to put it into battery, get help. Ask for someone who's done it. Go with it. Don't experiment on your own. Because when we become statistics like this, it's what we basically embarrass ourselves in our Second Amendment community. And this is exactly what everybody wants us to do, is say, oh, look what happened. These are unsafe. No, let's help one another. Let's not mock one another. Let's quit being divided amongst our Second Amendment communities. Let's join together as brothers and be a band of brothers. And not, if one guy can't afford something, don't sit there and make fun of him. You know, I got guys who, you know, I can't afford the top of the line stuff, but I still have guys who, at some of these other companies, they use for reviews. And they'll call me, hey, I got this. I already have one. I'll sell it to you half. Okay. But see, that's what this is about. Our Second Amendment community should be a band of brothers, not a bunch of snobs and the keyboard warriors who's just out to make someone's day feel awful. Because, you know, if anybody's ever been out there in the Facebook world on any numerous of pages, and there's a several pages out there that I won't even go on, because, you know, I don't think I'll ever own a Trigicon or a Night Force or, you know, a Foyer Night Scope, you know. But, hey, you can build a rifle and have it functional, and you can repair it yourself. You can trouble.
Did we lose him?
I think we lost you, Chris, if you can hear us. I think that's the funniest thing that I find with people I go through all these people who are like, go buy a Glock, you know, they're a good gun and things like that. And I look at them, me personally, I have an issue with it because I don't own Glock. I'm not a Glock fan. I don't like it. And I think a lot of it stems from California. Is you buy a Glock and next thing you know, they spent $600 on a gun. I still have to do some upgrades to make it to where it's usable at a consistent rate.
Yeah.
Chris, you there?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, sir.
Well, super. No, I'm not a Glock fan either. But you know, hey, one to their own, but I just want to let everybody know out there, man, you know, just do not put yourself in a situation where you're going to get yourself hurt. If you don't know, you know, poormansblackrifle.com on Facebook, send me a message. I'll show you how. There's YouTubes. Go to YouTube. YouTube teaches you. If you can't build a gun, an AR-15 off YouTube, that I don't know what to tell you, because it's that simple. Figure out what you want.
Just want to say a couple things here. I like what you said about Poor Man's Black Rifle being a band of brothers, right? Because one of the go ahead.
No, that's where our little logo for our company is, Join the Brotherhood.
Right. Yeah, I printed that enough times, I should know that. No, that says a lot, though. Join the Brotherhood, right? And when we join the service, that's the first thing they tell you is don't leave a fallen comrade. It's all in the creeds and it's all in that. So that goes a long way. So You got a gentleman here who's maintaining that integrity on a real level, and to be a part of that is very special. And then I would even suggest one of the gun stores we deal with. We have a relationship with NorCal Gun Vault over here in California, and what he says to a lot of his customers is, "There's no judgments. Come on in. We don't judge you whether you don't know anything, or whether you know so much where you're going to have a mistake." So you said that just now, but I would say market that heavily. There is no judgments. Come here and we'll break it down for you if you need that, Barney style, or we'll help you wherever you're at, and we will be there for you so that you could join the brotherhood, join the band of brothers. And I really like that. I really like that. And then the other thing I'd say is, that's going against everything that a lot of these tech industries are. I mean, one of the t-shirts that I want to come out with is have you ever heard somebody, you hear this on the news, is like these tech companies and these giants built these huge, tremendous organizations, and they claim to be all, and let's not jump back on the politics here, but I'm just, it's funny. They're super liberal and they're really progressive, right? But then at the same token, they built these multi-million-dollar organizations that they're exclusive and privy to, and they work in these tight little knit groups in Silicon Valley. And then you walk by one and they'll tell you, "Hey, motherfucker, you're working for $10 an hour at Starbucks. Why don't you learn to code?" Like, that learn to code is such a derogatory, like, "I'm cool, you're not" statement. It's crazy. But that's what I like about what you said is we're not that. We're old school, but in the new era, the new tech era, we're going to stick through this. We believe in the Second Amendment. We're a band of unity. We have no judgments. We will build your rifle. We will help you with whatever step you're at. And that's important. Because a lot of people did grow up with that, but there's so many, but everything that's going on in the world right now, we're missing all of those fundamentals and all of those basics. And I think you guys provide that, man. That's why you guys are so powerful, you know?
I know we're getting towards the end of our time. Is Chris still there? Did we lose him again? I think we might have lost him again. I know we're getting towards the end of time. I'm hoping that he comes back in here shortly. And what we'll do is we'll start getting those social media plugs from him, find the website. So that way you guys as a listener can find him and get in touch with him, because I got to talking to him. It was 45 minutes later before we ended up. That was just to get to know, meet and greet. And so Chris, you there with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. I want to give you the opportunity, cause we're at the end of our time right now, to plug all your social media, Facebook, Instagram, stuff like that, where people can find you. That way we can also put it in our description at the bottom of this episode. If you could make sure we have that so that these people can get a hold of you and get in touch with you.
Okay. Well, you can find, number one is my company is poormansblackrifle.com. You can find us on Instagram under Poor Man's Black Rifle. You can find us on Twitter at PMBRAR15. And you can also find me on Facebook under Poor Man's Black Rifle. And there is a group called 1791 that specializes in only helping new builders. It is a kind of like the Planet Fitness. We're not here to judge anybody. We are there to help anybody out, give you videos. There's links and files to help you build. And like I said, if anybody needs anything, any help whatsoever, I'll even give you my number. It's 989-292-2772. I'll be here to help anybody with their build. Just let me know.
There it is. That's the plug right there, man. You knocked that one out of the park. Had that one ready to rock and roll.
Hey, Chris, did you even, when I went off on my tangent before that, did you get to hear any of that, or was it cut out?
Oh no, I heard.
Okay, cool. Was it good?
Or you said a bunch of beautiful words about him, Mike. I know you want credit for your beautiful words.
No, I don't want credit. I just want to make sure that I didn't say anything that you didn't agree with. I really want to make sure.
No, I don't. I don't have anything. I'm not a person even to worry about that. I mean, as long as we are focused, everybody the ability to own a rifle that can, then we've nailed all the points.
I like that. And man, you're at the end of the day, that's why I like your organization so much. It's really all you care about is everybody should have one in an inexpensive way. And I love that. That's such a testimony for people to really get with you and stand behind.
It's not seen a lot these days. So it's you're right. That is huge to see that it's not always about the dollar every moment. It's about getting the information, giving the ability, and teaching people how to find it if they can't.
Yeah. And if there is any listeners, hey guys, real quick, I just wanted to say, I just saw a sale come in and then he liked our podcast. He favorited it. His name was Jonathan. So I do think it's getting out there, and I want to let the listeners know. Let's get out there. Let's support Christopher. Let's join his organization, and let's get those rifles built and let him help you. So, you know, at the end of the day, he has to make money and stay in business, so let's help him out.
Let's help him out. I agree. Chris, can we get your guys' mantra one last time for the lovely people? Did I lose him?
No, hang on. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you. There he is.
Okay, my mantra. We at Poor Man's Black Rifle believe that every U.S. citizen that is legally and mentally adept to own a firearm should be able to protect themselves, their family, and their regardless of their income. That's and that is what right we are about.
All right. Hey, Mike, I want to give you the chance to, if you got any plugs or anything going on for Battle Rattle that you want to shout out. I know you guys had some kind of setup coming on soon, didn't you? Where you guys were going to be out somewhere?
We do have a, we're going to partner up with NorCal Gun Vault up here coming up on May 22nd. That's just going to be location to be announced. And I'll probably print up a few of Christopher's shirts, Poor Man's Black Rifle shirts. So visit us out there, come support us. And also for this podcast, go to our website. We produce a lot of Chris Poor Man's Black Rifle's apparel. So get the word out there and wear it. Come buy a shirt, help support him and help support us. Buy that shirt, wear that shirt, and more importantly, go and build your rifle and start telling people about it on social media. That's what's really going to help us out the most. And like our podcast, subscribe to that podcast, help the podcast, just like our Sir Jonathan did there. That's all I have, my man.
Absolutely. All right. And then my final plug is, obviously, I'm going to give my shout out to Battle Rattle. We appreciate you allowing us to have this platform and you jumping in and joining in on this. We've got a couple cool things coming up. Obviously, we've got some shirts out there. I think we just came out with a new one this last week. They're hard at work, always putting together new designs, and I love that team. I tell you what. And we're actually going to be starting up a second segment, not just this weekly segment right now, where we're partnering with 50 Cal Fitness to start talking about fitness and things like that. So just some fun stuff, some fun talking with Ryan. You guys probably heard him on the first episode. So we got some really cool stuff coming down the pipe. I really want to thank Chris. I want to thank you for being on with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
I know we had some issues jumping into this, and I know it's kind of late where you're at, but I really appreciate you taking the time and sticking it out so we can talk.
I'm sitting down here nice and comfy in my Battle Rattle hoodie, and I'm fine.
Right on, man. Hey, well,
all right.
I just want to thank you one more time, Chris. I really appreciate you coming on here. And sorry about the technical difficulties today, but we appreciate
it. It's not about problems, buddy. It's about solving them.
That's right.
We're going to have to add that to one of our quotes of the
another t-shirt, man. All right. We'll take it.
There you go. All right, guys, and if you guys have nothing else, I'm going to end this podcast as we always do. Mike, if you could hit that end button as soon as I'm done, I'd greatly appreciate it.
You got it.
Always remember, don't be the sheep in the fight, be the dog.
That's it.
Bye, you guys. Thank you.